Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
It's a brand new week on Bombing with Eric Andre, the podcast where I talk with friends, comedians, musicians, and other lunatics about their worst moments on stage and getting wrecked by a live audience. We got a wonderful guest, this guy I've known for years. He's one of the funniest guys. You've seen him all over television, movies, cartoons, super funny stand-up, polar opposite in energy for me, and that's why I love him even more. My buddy, Ron Funches. He's got a long career in stand-up. He's got great stories. His daily routine includes jujitsu and weed. He's got stories from being high as fucking hell on an airplane with a bunch of women that look like they were the cast of the Golden Girls, and him being booed off the stage and running into a van and looking for jobs on Craigslist. He bombed so hard. You know the deal. We publish new episodes every week. Rate us 5 stars and check out Big Money Players Diamond on Apple Podcasts to get exclusive weekly bonus content plus ad-free episodes. Let's do it, Ron Funches.
Bombing. Bombing with Eric Andre.
All right, did they tell you anything about this podcast? It's called Bombing.
I heard a bit. I've heard the name, and then that made me feel like I understood it, but that was about it.
Have you ever bombed while doing stand-up comedy? How long have you been doing stand-up comedy?
16 years.
16 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time.
Yeah, a fair amount.
And you started in Oregon.
Yeah.
Portland. You started at the Portland Comedy Festival.
I started at Harvey's Comedy Club in Portland, Oregon.
The first time I saw you on stage was at the Portland Comedy Festival.
I remember that.
That was cool.
Yeah, it was good.
You crushed.
Thank you.
And you were like, you wouldn't even open your eyes on stage.
Yeah, well.
You would like sleep on stage.
Well.
I was captivated by that.
Yeah.
I have a vivid memory. And you kind of be like side turned.
Yeah.
You had a distinctive point of view.
Yeah. Distinctive point of view and low, very low energy.
Very low energy.
Yeah.
I loved it. I was like shocked by that.
Thank you.
Because I had very high energy.
Yeah.
Still do.
Yeah.
Because I'm nervous. Mm-hmm. It's a nervous energy. But I'm not here to talk about me.
Not even a little bit?
Well, yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
I'm very insecure. I'm tremendously insecure. Okay, what's the worst you've ever bombed on stage?
The worst I've ever bombed on stage? Like for like long time?
Yeah.
I mean, the one that's always sticks out in my head was I did a show in Tacoma, Washington at this place that was a converted, used to be a bank, and they converted it into a nightclub. And I just did from the moment I got on stage, they didn't have any interest in anything I was saying.
Why was it so doomed? Were you the headliner? Were you the opener?
I was the opener.
Who was the headliner?
Headliner. This was like in the beginning of me doing comedy. So I was working with a lot of bar comics and road comics. And there's this guy named Joe Fontenot, who's now dead.
R.I.P.
Well...
Joe Fontenot?
Yeah, just a...
He was tough.
Classic, real, like, to learn about comedy, great headliner to start with, like being like, don't be like any of this, don't be like this guy at all. He would crush though, because he had very chaotic energy and his jokes were very run-of-the-mill.
So you're at this bank.
Yeah, I'm at this converted
Joey
bank.
Joey Fontaine's headlining.
He's headlining, I'm opening.
This is how many, a decade ago, what?
Yeah, about 14 years ago.
So you're like, yeah, you're up and coming, you're
about
figuring it out.
In, yeah.
And they ask you to do this show. You go to, what was Spokane, Washington, where was it?
Tacoma.
Tacoma, Washington. Yeah.
Maybe Tukwila.
Tukwila, so you're in the middle of nowhere, you're in the mountain, forest mountains, mm-hmm. and you're at this bank,
mm-hmm.
that is now a nightclub, mm-hmm. and the crowd, just what, they weren't having it?
Just a dull murmur. It's like March 1st, I remember. And
you remember the date?
Oh, I do remember the date.
Wow.
Because it comes into play.
What year?
I don't remember the year,
okay, it's
but
March
I do
1st.
Remember the day.
Okay.
And... then all of a sudden, just two guys just walk in, and they're just being very loud, like just like they obviously super regulars, and they're just like, "Hey, what up, Sam? Oh man, what's going on tonight? Oh, y'all got a comedy show tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, y'all got my man over here doing comedy? Oh, y'all got a brother doing comedy in here tonight? Oh, y'all, you do your thing, man. I'm just going." And it just keeps going and going, and they keep going, and then that's why I remember it was March 1st, because I just go like, oh man, it's only one day after Black History Month and I'm hating niggas again. And I thought for some reason that would kill. It did not work at all.
Was the audience majority white?
Yeah, I guess, looking back at it. I didn't take it.
You had a majority black audience.
They might have.
Yeah, Walla Washington, they're not going to fucking vibe with that joke.
And they turned on me hard.
Oh,
I had
no.
to go. They were booing me.
Really?
Yeah.
You got booed.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get booed off?
Yeah, pretty much. Got the lid early. And then I just, I didn't even stay in the venue. I went and just sat in the van that we rode in until the show was over.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Were you just like, you were miserable?
Oh, truly.
You were miserable.
Yeah.
Did you weep?
No, I didn't cry, but I thought about quitting. I called my first wife and be like, why do I do this? I don't
did,
like
did
this.
You call your first wife at the time? My first wife.
Yeah.
Were you like,
I knew.
This is my
yeah. Anyone could see. So I said, first wife.
First wife. You're like first, Borat?
Yeah.
First wife.
Yeah, he was very popular at the time. So it really made sense. And it's called and complained and was like, I don't want to do comedy. And
yeah.
My normal thing, when I bombed real hard is when I would go look at like job postings.
Yeah.
That's when I knew I bombed super hard. Let me go
what
look.
What kind of jobs?
Anything. I didn't have skills.
Like
so
car dealership? Kind
whatever. Of? Yeah. Whatever did not require a lot of education or skills.
Did you go to school?
I went to community college for 3 weeks.
How was that? How was that?
I didn't like it. People, it was like high school, but they were smoking cigarettes. So the air quality was worse.
What was your major going to be?
Nothing.
How are you? How are you in high school?
Good, solid. I was.
Grades.
Yeah, I was naturally good at school, but I wasn't. I had no interest in anything.
Yeah,
I had no desire to work in anything.
Where'd you grow up, Eugene?
No, I grew up mostly in Chicago, and then moved to Salem, Oregon, when I was 13.
Why'd you move to Salem, Oregon, at 13?
It's where my dad was living, and he was in construction. And there was a big construction boom in Oregon.
Oh, really? So you're in Chicago. So you're mm-hmm. really a Chicago guy.
Mm-hmm.
You grew up in Chicago.
As a kid, yeah. I was a Chicago kid.
You grew up in Chicago.
Yes.
And then you moved to Salem.
Yeah.
That's a shock for a kid.
Oh, it's a big cultural shift.
That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
That had to be tough for you.
Yeah, it really was.
That had to throw you.
It truly did sometimes.
Did you feel kind of out of place?
Yeah, of course.
Do you always feel out of place?
Yeah.
But you felt especially out of place in Salem.
Yeah, but I think
what's going on in Salem?
Nothing.
There ain't nothing going on.
Not
there.
A damn thing is going on in Salem.
Well, I've never even heard of Salem.
It's not much to hear about.
It's on the ocean?
No.
It's just in the middle.
It's an hour south of Portland.
Portland's on the ocean, isn't it?
No.
Oh.
Don't let the port thing confuse you.
Yeah, yeah. It's on a river or something, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is water.
It's a river or ocean. What's the difference?
And stuff. Yeah.
So there's a river out there?
Yeah, sure. There's a river. There's lots of rivers.
And that's where you started smoking weed?
Yeah, in Oregon, for sure.
You started blazing.
Oh, yeah.
Is that when you started smoking weed with white people?
The first people I smoked weed with were Mexican.
Really?
Yeah.
And did you mention that while you were smoking weed with them?
I said, this is delightful.
You're
one
Mexican.
Day, I'm going to surprise those who assumed I was smoking weed with white people.
I don't know what's going on in Salem. I'm trying to paint a picture of 13-year-old Salem mm-hmm. Ron Funches.
Well, I didn't smoke weed till I was 16. 16 years old. School was boring. I wasn't really enjoying anything. My friends were smoking weed. And I was like, I'm not going to smoke weed because I want to be a good person. And then I was like, I'm bored. I'm super bored. I'll go smoke weed.
Yeah.
And so I went to a trailer park that my friends lived in. My friend Lolo. We smoked weed out of a wizard bong.
That's cool.
Very classic. True classic way to get classic into it. And then I just was like, red vines taste better than ever before.
Yeah, and then you were in love with it.
Oh, yeah, and then from then on.
You had a new passion.
Yeah, a new passion. Take breaks every now and then, but other than that, it's my main thing.
Do you smoke in the morning?
If I have the day off.
What's your typical smoke schedule?
Typical smoke schedule, if I'm shooting a show, then I don't smoke in the morning and I just wait till I get back home and smoke about like in the evening before dinner. If I have the day off or I'm coming here to do a podcast, then I tend to get up, work out, then I'll smoke a bowl, play some video games, handle some work, and then I smoke like every day, but like a small amount.
You told me that you smoked weed and went to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like in this new schedule, you go to the gym, then you switched it up.
Sometimes.
So
it depends on the thing.
I'm kind of thrown
if it's
by
late
what
day,
you just told me.
Yeah, I switch it up because I don't want to be too high on cardio stuff. But I started doing jiu-jitsu, and I like to smoke weed before I go do jiu-jitsu.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's
I want to do jiu-jitsu.
You should do
I'm intimidated
jiu-jitsu.
By it, though.
Don't be.
Yeah, it seems scary to me.
It does
I got
seem
jiu-jitsu
scary.
At my gym.
It's more spiritual and fun.
Have you ever been like way too high, like I'm too high
for jiu-jitsu?
No, just in general.
Oh yeah,
have you ever taken like an edible that was way too big or mm-hmm. something? What was like the most like, oh, regrettable, like I'm way too stoned?
One time I was on a flight coming back from a show and I took I ate this sucker that I didn't think was very, I think it was coming back from New York.
Yeah.
And I ate this sucker that I didn't think was very powerful at all. And
How many milligrams do you remember?
I don't know. I'm gonna guess from now it felt like somewhere between 75 and 100.
And oh my god.
I get on the plane. And it's the first time I'd ever seen this on a plane, where my seat is in the very back of the plane in kind of a bench pattern. So there's like two ladies sitting on the left of me and then two ladies that sit on the right of me. And they all know each other.
Oh my god.
And I'm right in the middle.
And you're high.
And I'm high as shit. And it really starts kicking in. I just start sweating.
Oh no.
And I hear them chatting and chitting. And then suddenly I hear them all just like look over.
Oh, you look sick.
Yeah, and they just stop talking to each other.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was a horrible time.
So there is too much for you, weed.
Oh, for sure.
Because what's the tipping point? Because all weed, that experience is any amount of weed for me.
Really?
I have like the tiniest puff of a joint and I'm like sweating between four ladies talking about me in my mind.
Well, you made it sound good.
That sounded a little sexy. No, weed, I'm like a mess on weed. I can't tell if people are mad at me. I can't tell if the situation's awkward.
Mm-hmm.
I spiral.
So you feel, I always feel like weed's more of, like you talk about alcohol being a blocker, and I feel like marijuana in a lot of cases is an enhancer. And sometimes if you have like this anxiety or if you have these insecurities, that it will actually shine a light on them. And you think that is what happens to you.
Yeah, and it also has the depressive quality to it for me, where I kind of like ruminate on the bad thoughts that I can like keep at bay while I'm sober or drown out while I'm drunk.
Do you still meditate a lot?
Yeah, I meditate twice a day.
Nice.
Yeah.
was fun. It's really fun because I always thought that was because you were so peaceful, and then I realized it's because you need to. You're like, I need to meditate.
Yeah. I'll unravel. I'll quickly unravel. There's so much I do in my day to just keep like alive. Mm-hmm. I like journal, therapy 3 times a week, exercise almost every day. Like half of my day is to just like keeping my brain in one piece.
I think that's beautiful, though. I think that's like the fight of all of life. Right?
It's the fight of life.
Yeah,
it really is the fight of life.
Yeah, and the fact that you get up and you fight hard every day is commendable.
It's exhausting, though. I want to just wake up and not have anxiety.
Yeah. I want to wake up and not think the fucking that I need to eat, like that 3 cheeseburgers sounds good, you know?
Cheeseburger is good.
It's good
for your taste buds.
Yeah.
Not the rest of your body's not great for it, but it's good.
Go back and forth. I get real focused and healthy, and then I'm like, fuck, I should be eating 12 cookies.
Yeah. I mean, every once in a while, you can eat 12 cookies.
Yeah, but
or you can eat like a couple cookies.
They become spirals for me real quick. It's like I go on a spree.
Well, that's the tough thing about weed for me, because if I'm trying to behave on my eating, weed, forget it. Then I want to eat a whole thing of Ben and Jerry's. I get the munchies.
Yeah, I don't find that maybe I do and I just don't admit to it. I don't know. But I don't feel, I never am like, oh, I'm stoned, I want to eat.
What happened to the 12 cookie cheeseburger conversation we were just having?
Well, I feel like that's just me regular. Oh, that's me if I'm at work and I'm sober.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
It's not a stone issue.
It's not connected.
No, it's just I want the food. I want, especially sugar. Oh, once I get going on sugar.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Hawaiian Punch is so good.
I don't like Hawaiian Punch.
I like Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I like Coca-Cola too.
And ice cream.
Yeah, now you're talking, boy. Yeah, you're talking about shit.
It's so good. I'll never quit. I tried to quit sugar. I went to a hypnotist to try to quit sugar. Can't do it. Life's been, I can't stop living life.
Yeah.
I can't stop enjoying life. Because life is hard. Life is harsh. Life is brutal. So to not have like a cookie at some point.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, what am I? And then you meet the people that they work out like crazy, and they like they count their calories every single time, and they're like I don't do any sugar, and I just eat celery, and like I'm on paleo and all this shit, and they're like nuts, and they're like ripped, but you're like, I don't know, I need to like.
Yeah, there's a balance.
I want some etouffee and a little.
I think I just want to make sure everything is quality and I'm treating myself well. I just don't want to be eating like shitty cookies.
Yeah,
really good cookies. Good,
man. All the Oreos dipped in milk. Double stuffed.
I never heard of this.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's my jam.
Bombing with Eric Andre.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
Eric Andre. Oh, what's the most wasted you've been on stage? Speaking of a 100 milligram edible sucker.
I mean, I've done a bunch of high shows all the time.
Yeah, but what's like trashola? Have you ever been like hammered, like you were on MDMA on stage? Or
no,
like,
sometimes
you were huffing
shrooms
gas.
And then,
you popped off the gas cap of your car, started huffing, and your blood was boiling. And you just went on stage and you were like, I am but a man before you. Have you ever had that experience?
I'm trying to remember if I did do that.
I huffed ether on stage one time.
Is that what's ether? The
ether fuels, they use it in photo labs and it fuels small propeller planes.
Mm-hmm. Why did you do that?
I don't remember. Oh, it was a high show, and I go, I don't really smoke weed,
mm-hmm.
but and they were like, oh, well, everybody's high on the thing, and I was like, and I wasn't drinking that much then. I was like, I have ether at my house. I could get a rag and huff ether,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, okay, and then like,
yeah, that would have been my reaction too. Actually, I would have been like, you don't have to. You know what? We'll make an exception.
I huffed ether on stage, and it's really dangerous. It's incredibly flammable. It's so flammable you can't keep it in your house, and you don't want to be really huffing indoors that much because if somebody lights a lighter, you can.
I don't think you want to be huffing outdoors.
It's not. It's really bad. I remember huffing ether. My friend had an Easter party, and I was like, "I'll be the ether bunny," and I mm-hmm. came and I huffed ether, and the girl I was dating at the time, it makes your breath reek, reek, mm-hmm. reek, reek. It smells like nail polish remover. And I was really ripping it, and it was great. I got really high. It can't be good for you.
No.
It's pretty gnarly.
No, it truly
I've only done
can't.
It a couple times, and
well,
one of the
good.
Times was on stage.
I really can't even get to a point where I'd have been like, oh, I see myself trying. I can't. No, I don't see that happening for me. I can't do mushrooms on stage. That's to me too far for me.
I did that once.
I get way too. I'm like, everything seems like it's going to be great and none of it hits.
What about cocaine?
I've never done cocaine.
I could see you being a big coke guy.
You think I should get into
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I mean, I just turned 40 and now
that's
the time.
That's the time to yeah. test your organs.
Yeah.
Put your organs to the
new baby.
Test.
Yeah.
Yeah. Test it.
Really, you get a chance to add a new hobby.
So you've never been like obliterated on stage?
No, just too high on mushrooms, really.
How was that show?
Bad. Not good.
What happened?
Not a good time. Oh, I can tell you the highest that I've been on stage. I had not smoked weed in a couple of weeks because I went to Tokyo and Kyoto and Osaka for New Year's Eve trip.
And I went to Tokyo for a New Year's Eve trip.
It's
once.
A great time.
Yeah, it was cool.
I'm blessed. I'm going to try to do it again this New Year's Eve. And then in Osaka, they have a English-speaking comedy club. And so my second wife, I said to her, second wife,
second wife.
I said to her, two of three. let's go check out the comedy, you know, let's go to this open mic and watch some comedians. And then I don't remember how this happened, but somebody in the club reached out to me and they found out I was coming. And so unbeknownst to me, the open mic started becoming promoted as a show, as I was going to be performing at the show and they were going to open for me. I didn't tell me any of this. And so I just was like, I'm going to go to this open mic. Maybe I'll do a couple minutes. I had the last like three edibles that I brought with me to Japan. And so I took those, and because I hadn't been smoking anything, they were hitting real hard. So I was like, oh, I'll go up second or third, pop a couple before we start the show. And then they're like, no, we want you to go last. We want
oh,
you to
no,
go
when you're ripped.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I was super fucking high. And I was able to, you know, just ad lib about being my first time in Japan, okay, just talking, okay. Yeah. But as soon as I tried to remember
your jokes.
Any joke, not a single joke I could remember.
So you were just like on stage, like, duh.
Yeah. And I look over at a second wife and I was like, do you remember? Can you give me a setup? And she's just head in her head. And I was like, this is why you're second wife. And I just bombed super hard. And I just remember there was like this drag queen that was there just watching the show. And we talked before and she's telling me about the show that they were going to do later before I bombed. And I get up there and I'm doing things and I was like, oh, I'll figure it out. I'll figure out a joke eventually. And then the drag queen just goes, you could just finish, honey.
She was right.
Yeah.
She was right. There's no way.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing it for?
And that's why I don't bombing doesn't hurt as much anymore because to me, it was really fun, and it was a real marker. My wife was super mad because she was. I have no idea why second she was wife. Mad. Second wife second was mad, wife, yeah. And I was like, "No, I go. Don't you see how fun this is?
Yeah.
Like I'm. A. How the fuck did I get to Osaka, Japan?
Yeah.
Who the fuck thought that I would ever be in Osaka, Japan doing stand up comedy? Right. And who thought I bombed at an open mic in Osaka, Japan? This is fun as hell. I'm just gonna go to 7-Eleven and get some ice cream, and I had a blast. I loved it. I think bombing is great. Because I never played sports. I never did competitive things when I was younger. And if it wasn't for bombing, I wouldn't know how to handle failure. It's really helped me go through the marriages. It's helped me dating and helped me with business when people pass on my pitches or whatever. I'm just like, oh, I get rejected all the fucking time. Yeah, it's not going to stop.
Career rejection.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Bombing makes you stronger, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, truly.
For sure. Truly. If you can get through that, you can get through anything. Absolutely. It is like an emotional death. It's ego death,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't know what that means. People say it all the time, but
well, it's really the most. If you asked me at the time before I started, but if you asked me what my biggest fear, it would probably been second place to death of being like, oh, what would it feel like if I bomb? What would it feel like if I just suck so much?
Yeah,
and you go through it, and you're like, oh, that fucking sucked, but I'm still here.
You're still alive.
And you're like, oh, fuck, I can just have fun.
Yeah.
I've been loving it now, especially more that I've been able to work on TV shows and have money that's not reliant on me touring. I'm just like, oh, I'm always trying. Like, fuck, you may hate this.
Yeah. That's a great place to be.
Yeah.
That's a great, you may hate this. This is a perfect place to be. Then you can really experiment on stage and see what. And then if you win, if you find a new joke, it's the best feeling in the world.
Absolutely.
Just keeping that joke fresh is also tough, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because a joke can rot, which sucks.
I think
that's the most painful feeling.
I think jokes rot is when you're not being authentic to the moment, when it was like some jokes that were true in the past.
Right. They were true to your spirit in the past. And then once they get, like, you're just phoning them in, then they lose their magical powers.
No, you just can read that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. One time I was at Montreal Comedy Festival, Just for Laughs, and I gave James Adomian ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's strong, so take it. You know, he's about to go on stage. I was like, take it later. And he was like, you know what? I'm just going to take it now because I'm going up first. Your Osaka story reminded me of this. He's like, I'll just take it now because I'm going up first. And then when I get off stage, it'll kick in and I'll be high and I'll go out on the town and have fun. He took it and they kicked him from first to last on the lineup. And so when he got out on stage, he was like, face melting, eyes in the back of his head. And then he was like trying to get through his first joke and the audience is like, what in the fuck is going on? And then he just like admitted to the audience, he goes, listen, I took MDMA. I'm high out of my mind right now and I'm fucking sailing. And the whole crowd was like, yeah! And they were like, yeah. And then he just riffed like, on like how he was feeling and like his like ecstasy experience, and the crowd loved it. And then it enhanced his high, and then he went out on the deck. I did MDMA on stage one time, and I bombed, but I never felt better. I was just like, I didn't care that I was bombing. I was so high. I was like, yeah. And I was like, I don't even know if I'm bombing or not. Mm-hmm. I feel like elated. I felt like I was floating on a cloud. Now I do ecstasy and I just kind of melt into a puddle of mercury. It doesn't, I used to be able to take it and I'd be chatting all night, like just very confident, strutting around like a Hugh Hefner or something. Now I'm just like, but I still, in my mind, I think I'm cool. I'm like, I'm so cool. Yeah. I went to Vegas for my 40th birthday and we all took ecstasy and like, I saw a video in my brain, like we were like, everybody's like smoking a blunt we had a party bus. And in my brain, I was like, I'm a fucking cool motherfucker. I'm a Miles Davis trumpet solo. And then I saw the video and it looked like Weekend at Bernie's. Like, somebody was like holding me up with a stick. I'm just like,
you like a Muppet that's being half controlled.
Yeah, a Muppet with like the puppeteer's hand out of it. But in my mind, I was like, that was the cool. That was John Coltrane in my mind.
One time, I gave or a friend of mine gave James Adomian, I think his first dab.
like everybody just giving James Adomian drugs.
Yeah,
a lot of and he's just taking it.
Yeah, at Bumper Shoot, we were Bumper Shoot in Seattle, and James had never taken a dab before. I warned him. I was like, "It's going to be pretty intense."
It gets
for you
ripped, right?
Yeah, and he took it, and then he just said, "I have to go." And then he just walked away and walked all the way back to his hotel.
Yeah, I've totally been there. It's like, I have to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just too high.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go.
You all like, get there.
That's, yeah, we've all been there. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's time for me to exit the situation.
Bombing with Eric Andre.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Bombing with Eric Andre.
What's the word bomb you've ever seen that you weren't, this isn't you, like you experienced, you witnessed?
I mean, I've watched some bad comedy specials. It's funny when people record
I'm wondering, like, live, have you ever seen somebody, like, get the bottle thrown at them or booed off
the stage?
I saw
somebody
get, punched
they got a pepper shaker thrown at them, or salt shaker. Oh. I don't remember which one of the two.
What led to that?
Oh, they used you know. Remember that there's that time period when Louis C.K. was at his utmost power, and a lot of white comedians were like, "I could figure out a way to make an N-word in a joke like him."
Yeah.
You remember
like,
that?
That's like the highest stakes
trick
for a white comic.
Yeah. And he tried. And man, Shaker came ripping up.
God, can you tell me who it is? Or
not? He's not a comedian anymore.
You're protecting the innocent. Okay. All right.
Yeah, if he was still active, I'd tell you.
The salt and pepper shaker came for him. Where was that?
Portland, Oregon. Suki's Bar and Grill.
Was that like the spot back
then?
That
was the spot, because that was the spot nobody listened to you. Everybody would bomb. Everybody would bomb. So if you got them to listen to you, if you got them to turn, you knew you had some, your jokes
really?
Were working.
Oh, really? Yeah. Those were the spots for me in New York when I was coming up. Like, they made the boy the man. You know what I mean? Like, if you could turn it around in those venues where not a single thing there was conducive to comedy, yet for some reason they had a comedy show there, that, like, made you... That's what started giving you your superpowers.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really like X-Men training.
Yeah, yeah. You go into the danger room, training in 10 times gravity, whatever reference you need.
Yeah.
It would always just let you, it would separate the people who were just like, especially, you know, when you're starting in your 20s or whatever, and there's just people there who are like, I do this and I do karaoke.
Yeah, they're dabbling.
Yeah. And those are the shows that separate the people who are really trying to do it.
It does. If you persevere through that Shawshank Redemption crawl through the sewer, you will survive, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it's all about, like, the half of it is just like, not giving up.
Yeah.
Right?
Truly. There's no more to be said.
There's no more to... What can be said?
Nothing.
Is there anything, any scraps you left on the table? Any bombing tale that is coming to mind?
Not
you don't have
any
to.
Tales.
I'm just trying to.
Just, again, I think I like bombing. I'm not...
We haven't been recording this whole time, so
okay.
This is the rehearsal.
This is, okay.
This is kind of like a
warm-up.
Let's
get started.
This is a war. Ron Funches, you've been a true hero, a true friend, a confidant. It's always a pleasure.
Truly.
Thank you so much for doing the show.
Oh, anytime. Ron Funches. Always a pleasure to see you.
Appreciate it. I don't know what you're laughing.
Eric Andre.
Bombing with Eric Andre is brought to you by Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network and iHeart Podcast. Executive produced by Han Sani, Olivia Aguilar, edited and sound designed by Andy Harris, and our art is by Dylan Vanderberg. If you want to confess to your own bombing moments or give us a shout out, go rate us 5 stars and drop a review on your podcast app of choice. Write about your own stories of bombing at life. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, you can also subscribe to Big Money Players Diamond to get exclusive bonus content with every episode and listen to all my episodes ad-free. The guests on Bombing with Eric Andre were recorded before the SAG-AFTRA strike.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. If tonight's movie night is just what you need, make it special with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.